Let's see, what are we at right now? All right. 124. What is this? 124.91. What's the all-time high? It's like 124. Oh, let's see, 124.128. Does that sound right, guys? I'm honestly not sure. That's what I'm being told is correct. We shall see. We shall see. This is weird to be on here with just me, to be honest with you. I'm honestly just not used to this. It's not my usual vibe, but I don't know. Wife's asleep, son's asleep. Figured, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do it. Let's just hop on the live stream. I've had a couple of Miller Lights. I'll have a couple more. So cheers to you guys if you're out here on a Saturday night like me as a, you know, well, you don't have to be a father to be having Miller Lights on a Saturday night, but I sure am. So, all right. Are we going to pass the all-time high tonight? Does any of this actually matter? The obvious answer to that is no, it does not. It does not matter at all. We are measuring this in fiat cuckbucks, but God, it sure just is fun to measure it in fiat cuckbucks. What are we at? 124,050 fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin. That's fun. That's a lot of cuckbucks, right? It's wild. I posted this, posted a video maybe yesterday or today about a prior, an older song Carla had done. Let's see if I can pull this up right now. Basically, it was it was like The Chain by Fleetwood Mac, but she published this when she published The Chain. Hold on, wait, which one did I publish? She just reposted The Chain by Fleetwood Mac that she did. Oh no, Hello 19, My Old Friend. So she put this song out when Bitcoin was at literally $19,000. And it's wild because like Carl and I had both bought up to the absolute tippity top of that. Like six, I think it was like, I believe the top was like at 69K. Like I'm pretty sure I bought like the most tippity top that you could possibly buy of that bull run right before everything came crashing down to all the way down to like 16K. And then if you guys remember for anyone that was there, Bitcoin was just hovering around 19K. Like it kept going back. 19K was a magnet at that time. It was like, it wasn't the 58K, it was 19K. For a super long period of time, 19K just kept pulling us back to it over and over again. And so like Carla just one day starts like singing like, you know, like Hello 19, My Old Friend. And then she made a whole song out of it. It's fantastic. But it's just wild that that was over 100,000 fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin difference than what we have in the fiat cuckbuck per Bitcoin price today. Like that's just insane because Carla and I haven't been in Bitcoin very long. In the relative scheme of things, like we've both ignored Bitcoin for more years than we've been in Bitcoin, which is just kind of like a wild thing to think about. Like I think I first heard about Bitcoin in 2014 during the Silk Road days and obviously like ignored it at that time. And then it literally took until 2020 for me to finally pay attention to Bitcoin after being a complete retard and buying a little bit of Litecoin in 2017, because I literally didn't realize you could buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. Like I thought I was like, I don't have enough cash to buy a full Bitcoin. What the hell? I'll just buy one of these Litecoin things. Maybe this Litecoin will get up to what Bitcoin is someday. Obviously not. I think I sold it a few years later, like still like at a loss for what it was. Like what a just embarrassment. But that's why I always try to lead with empathy with people because I was literally that person who didn't realize that you could buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. So I'm never going to judge somebody for thinking that you can only buy a full Bitcoin. Like, I feel you, man. I was there. I was that retard too. We were all that retard at some point. But yeah, it's wild to think about the fact that Carl and I have literally been ignoring Bitcoin longer than we've been in Bitcoin. I'm looking forward to that flipping at some, I mean, I guess that's still like over a year away before that flips. But until then, yeah, it's a good reminder that like, man, you do need to stay humble, right? It's important to remember that we all start from a point of zero knowledge. Like Satoshi's the only person who started from a point of greater than zero knowledge. All the rest of us start from a point of zero knowledge. And some of us catch on quicker than others. It took me a really, really, really long, embarrassingly long time to catch on, but I finally did. And then eventually I started a Bitcoin podcast. Now here I am rambling to you on a Saturday night while my smoking hot wife and son sleep peacefully in the floor below me. And you too someday can have a smoking hot wife and a son sleeping peacefully below you as you ramble on a Saturday night about Bitcoin as Bitcoin's about to break an all-time high. So here we are. We're at 120. I honestly fucking hate talking about price. I just hate talking about price. I think if price is the most boring aspect of Bitcoin, but it's also not, right? Like, price is also fun. Seeing that number go up in fiat cuck bucks is fun. And if you try to pretend like it's not, you're just a liar. So I'm not trying to sit here being a liar. It is fun to watch that price go up. But it's important to remember that that's just a made up imaginary number. Like, Bitcoin hits Omega candles regularly in Turkish lira because the Turkish lira is just a giant shitcoin. The US dollar is a shitcoin as well. It's just less of a shitcoin than the lira. It's like the US dollar. I have to think about it like this. The US dollar is like the skinniest kid at fat camp. Like, the US dollar is still a fat fuck. Like, it is still an obese piece of shit. Not that everybody who's obese is a piece of shit. Don't come after me with your pitchforks. But you know what I mean? Like, I used to be a bit chubby as a kid, and I got over that shit, right? Like, you don't want to be chubby. Work your way out of it. Go sweat. Go work out. Okay, moral of the story. US dollar is the skinniest kid at fat camp. Like, all the other kids are really fucking fat. Like, the Turkish lira is a fat, fatty fuck. And man, it's insane. Like, I admire the Turkish people so much. I admire people who, and this is like most of the world besides Western nations, I admire people so deeply who are actually able to live through just brutal, brutal, brutal inflation, hyperinflation, and they still just keep going on with their lives. They still somehow keep producing value. They keep running businesses. Like, to run a business when your currency is hyperinflating or just, you know, going through strong inflation but not hyperinflating, like, it's insane. The amount of, you have to make adjustments literally constantly. If you're running a business in Turkey, you need to make adjustments literally constantly just to deal with the rate of inflation. That is insane. Every couple of months, you need to be making adjustments. If you're paying people, you need to make adjustments to their salaries. You need to make adjustments for your own expenses from your suppliers. If you're buying anything from anyone, which if you're running a business, of course you obviously are. You need to be making adjustments constantly because the money is so unsound. The money is so incredibly broken that you cannot possibly, you cannot even imagine that it retains its value. How are, like, the fact that people still run businesses in hyperinflationary environments is a testament to the human spirit. It is a testament to the fact that no matter how bad central banks and governments rat fuck us as citizens, the capitalists still win. We try to anyway. Like, it's really hard. Like, imagine a world in which the central banks and the governments aren't rat fucking us to death. What a world that would be, right? Oh, man. I don't know. Moral of the story, I have just such incredible respect for people that run businesses in hyperinflationary environments. Like, it, goddamn, it is not easy. It is really not easy. Okay, guys, let's see. What are we at? 124088. I've got this real fancy, fancy trading view chart here, right? That makes me seem like one of those cool traders, one of those short sellers or something. What's the name of that guy? It's not his fault, but he's got a very thinning hairline and he's constantly trying to short Bitcoin. And he's somehow just like, he's like the Jim Cramer of Bitcoin shorts. I don't know. It's just incredible. All right, let's see what else we got going on here. All right, and for anyone wondering, this, hello to everybody on Noster. Monitoring the situation, woohoo, aloha is hello, fancy Bitcoin podcaster, ugh. What's up, Beef Toshi, how you doing? You know, I appreciate the folks on Noster so much, because I know that if somebody is watching this show on Noster right now, you are a seriously motivated individual. Like, you are an individual who is genuinely, like, you're getting more than your 40 hours per week of Bitcoin in podcasts. Like, you're probably getting, let's be honest, you're probably getting more like 60 hours per week. Like, you are an animal of Bitcoin podcast consumption. And I just respect that. I respect the hell out of that. 9-9. It's so boring, but also so fascinating to watch the Bitcoin price. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. It's quite tedious to just watch it, but somehow it's also like the most fascinating number that you could possibly imagine. Like, it's literally showing you in real time how the fiat world is being demonetized. Like, the repricing of the fiat world is happening in real time before your eyes. And so on the one hand, I'm like, God, I'm bored by the fiat price of Bitcoin. But on the other hand, I'm like, boy, I am fascinated by the fiat price of Bitcoin. Like, what a trip. What an absolute trip. Let's see more of it. You guys, it's weird for me to be on the stream by myself, by the way. I'm not used to that. I'm used to asking someone questions, being able to riff off of somebody. I hit up Tatum Turnip, or as he saved in my phone, Twatum Turnip. Twatum Turnip. I hit him up earlier. He's apparently out living his Gen Z life right now. If he sees this later, Tatum, just know that I gave you a chance and you spurned me. You absolutely just, you wrecked me, son. But that's okay. I'll forgive you. So now it's just me. And the question is, guys, I mean, ultimately, like, what do I talk about? Honestly, I have so much respect for the streamers who literally just go out there by themselves every damn day and stream into the void. Like, it's wild because you just, most of the time, you don't know if somebody's listening. Another thing I don't understand is there's like this whole genre of shows that I've randomly seen. I've literally only seen them because I've posted my shows on Rumble. I think it's great what Rumble is doing. I think it's great that Rumble is integrating Bitcoin. Like Chris Pavlovsky, their CEO, seems like a pretty cool guy. From my like basic read of him, I don't know him at all. It seems like their mission is pretty good. It's cool that they're running their entire own server stack. That's fantastic. I love to see that. But I happen to notice this genre that is always promoted on the Rumble homepage, which is like a couple of dudes and like a few women in this, like, in a circular type room. And I don't know exactly what is the premise of these shows, but there seems to be a lot of them. And it just seems to be basically asking like really dumb women, really dumb questions. And that's fine. Like, that's fine. It just, like, that's fine in the sense that reality TV is fine, right? But on the other hand, it's like, these are the things that actually get views. The things that legitimately get an absurd amount of views in our culture are just retarded. Like, the things that get views are absolute garbage. The things that get views are not, I mean, okay, BTC Sessions gets a ton of views, but like not relatively, right? Like not relatively to some of this absolute trash. Like there is so much incredible, like there's education out there right now, more than you can possibly imagine, about the future of money. There's education out there right now about a monetary standard that is going to completely supplant everything that we know in the fiat world. There's education out there right now in various forms, whether that be long form podcasts like my own, which probably are very long, short form videos, mid form educational formats like Sessions. There's so much great general educational content out there about Bitcoin right now, which is such an important topic. And yet, the majority of people still just don't give a flying fuck. Like, they just don't care. And I guess that's fine. Like, I suppose it's natural that most people won't care about something that's changing the world. Like, I guess most people probably didn't care about electricity. Most people probably didn't care about the printing press. Most people don't care about Bitcoin. But man, it's wild to see what people spend their time on. It's sad to see what people spend their time on. And when you could, you know, you could be spending your time here with me on a Saturday night watching a Bitcoin chart as I watch the same Bitcoin chart. And we just did hit 1, 2, 3. What? I honestly don't know what was the prior all-time high. Such a bad Bitcoiner. I don't even know the prior all-time high fiat cuffbox. 1, 2, 4, 1, 2. Did we just hit a new all-time high? Was this just, could somebody, I don't even have a live chat for this. This isn't even on YouTube right now. So I just don't even know. Can somebody confirm? I'm pretty sure we just hit a new all-time high. Can somebody please confirm that for me? Anyone? Bueller? Yes. Did we? Let's ask on Noster. It feels like this was a new all-time high. I don't know. My previous all-time high was the one that ChatGPT told me it was, which they say was 124,128, reached on August 14th, 2025. If you mean highest closing price on a different exchange, I can check that too. No, I obviously don't mean that. I just mean all-time high, ChatGPT, you dumb fuck. Sorry. So I think we just hit a new all-time high. I don't know. I'm not a very good live streamer. So like, what do I do at this point? Do I press a cool button? Do I press the sad trombone? Is that the correct button to press here? It feels like it's not. Do I press the air horn? Maybe the air horn. We'll see. I think this is a new, we're going to call this a new all-time high. Hey, and look at that, guys. Bitcoin has just hit a new all-time high. Now up next, we'll have a panel full of experts who will tell you exactly why that new all-time high is super important. I actually do think all-time highs are obviously very important for a singular reason. And that reason is that they attract more people. Like, NGU, number go up, is the best meme that Bitcoin has. The sad reality is that most people don't care about Bitcoin. Even the people that do care about Bitcoin, most people don't care about the ability to transact in a censorship resistant way. It's like with Noster. Most people don't actually give a fuck about censorship resistant communication. They just don't care. They just don't care. And that's okay. They're never going to care. They're like, it's just not going to happen. That's fine. But with Bitcoin, like most people just, they don't care that it's unfuckable sound money. They don't care that it is a censorship resistant, you know, pseudonymous network, right? They don't care. What they care about is it going to pump their bags? That's what they care about. That's why people shitcoin. That's literally why people shitcoin. People shitcoin because they want their bags pumped. And they think their bags will be pumped at a faster rate than if they just buy Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin is slow and boring, you know, in terms of the price. Like, we may have just ripped a new all-time high. Still not sure. Maybe somebody in the coin. Oh, wait. Okay. For some reason, this person's npub is not rendering as a username, but npub 1nsggph6. Coinbase has 124533.00. We've hit 124400 so far. Okay, so apparently we have not hit a new all-time high in terms of Coinbase. And as we all know, Coinbase is basically the Bible when it comes to Bitcoin. But I'll take that. Okay. My point being, NGU actually matters a lot. Like, I don't like to talk about, if you watch my podcast, the Bitcoin podcast, aka Titcoin podcast, you know that I don't talk about price that much. And there's a reason I don't talk about price. It's because I find it to not be that interesting. Like, making price predictions, doing all those things. Like, I know that Bitcoin's going to go up and to the right. Okay. There we go. We've said all we need to about price, but that's because I predominantly make my show for Bitcoiners. I have some episodes that are made for people that are not yet Bitcoiners yet, sure. But I make my show for Bitcoiners. And most Bitcoiners, I mean, well, let's say we want to pretend that we don't care about price, right? But the reality is that when it comes to adoption, price matters a heck of a lot. And I think it's Gladstein who said something to the effect of, and I will not say it as eloquently as Alex would, the effect is that NGU is a Trojan horse for FGU. Number go up is a Trojan horse for freedom go up. Number go up is what leads to freedom go up. It's what allows freedom to go up because it brings more people into the network. It just brings more capital into the network, We are at 124,484,482. We're just bumping up right now. I think we're about to hit an all-time high, right? I'm pretty sure we're about to hit an all-time high. Let's see. Either way, the point being, price really does matter because Bitcoin is the measuring stick, right? Like, we're measuring this in US dollars right now, but it doesn't matter what we measure it in. Take any fiat you want. Take the Turkish lira, where we've already had omega candles. Take any failing currency where we have mega omega candles. Bitcoin is melting faces off. I know a lot. I have a lot of friends in Turkey, actually, who have been stacking Bitcoin longer than I have, like much longer than I have. And let me tell you, they are ecstatic. They are ecstatic because their perseverance has paid off, because they have seen their currency inflate over, I mean, depending on if you go with the real rate of inflation or the, you know, the government's rate of inflation, I don't know, 50 to 100 plus percent a year or more, or way more. Meanwhile, the value of their Bitcoin has just skyrocketed, right? Like, look at if you want, you know, maybe I can pull this up. This is what I should do. I should just pull these things up as a live streamer. BTC versus Turkish lira. Perfect. Look at that, guys. I can be a cool live streamer pulling charts up on the fly. What's next? Mom, if you could only see me now. Oof. Let's see. What are we at right now, by the way, on the USD side? 1, 2, 4, 3, 3, 3. Let's see what we're at when it comes to. Let's see where we're at when it comes to the Turkish lira, huh? The Turkish lira. We are at 5,178,148.31 Turkish lira per Bitcoin. Let's look at this Turkish lira chart. Seriously, look at this. Look at this. So this is actually, when is this measuring from? I've got my screen way too far away from me so I can actually see. Okay, this is like only measuring from like 2018. Let's see, what's the fuzz? Oh, no. Okay, no. It goes back to what? 2016? Okay, it goes back to 2016. So basically, it's like flat from 20. Okay, this is an insane chart. Like, literally just insane. Literally insane. Let's just look in the last year. Bitcoin's up 145% in the last year. In the last 5 years, it's up 6,000%. This is amazing to see. We'll go back to the USD chart because, okay, and you know what? Maybe a good point to point out here is that this USD chart, like, this will look like the Turkish lira chart. Like, it already does look like the Turkish lira chart. Honestly, like, let me get these in the same time frame. Like, the US dollar is the prettiest horse at the glue factory. It's the skinniest kid at fat camp. People like to talk about the fact that, oh, the US dollar is going down and the US dollar is going to die. The US dollar will eventually succumb to its natural, the natural pressures. Like, that makes sense. The US dollar is going to die. But that's only going to happen after every other fiat currency has been destroyed. Oh, also, I think we just like ripped through the last all-time high. Okay, hold on. We're up to, I see, I'm just talking my ass off here. And geez, okay, 125,000, new all-time high. Oh, I need an air horn. I can't actually hear this through mine, so I'm sorry, guys. You guys are hearing the air horn. I'm not hearing it at all. I'm just going to keep pressing the air horn. New all-time high. Yeah. Is anyone else streaming right now? Am I the only Bitcoin streamer right now? I hate the word streamer. It just sounds fucking lame. But yeah, moral of the story, new all-time high. Yay, Bitcoin. We did it. Now all of your friends are going to text you and they're going to say, hey, so you still into that Bitcoin thing? You still got those Bitcoins? And you're going to say, oh, you think I should buy some now, or should I wait till it goes lower? And you're going to say, no, but really that is what you get every time, right? And you get people that literally you've been telling to buy Bitcoin for like years, and they ask you again and again and again and again, like, should I buy Bitcoin? And you're like, yeah, man, if you want to, like, I'm still buying right now. Like, I dollar cost average, and it doesn't matter because you can just tell them as many times as you want. They're just not going to pay attention. It's so sad. But it's like, what can you do? Like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it not retarded. You know, that's what my dad always said. I'm just kidding. He didn't actually say that. He said a lot more inappropriate things, but not that. So we got a new all-time high, right? Can we can officially, we can confirm this. Yep. Okay. Well, you know, thank you. Robinhood just reminded me, BTC hits 52-week high. Bitcoin just hit a 52-week high at $165.90. It's obviously way higher than that right now. Yeah. Boy, I've got to say, it would suck not to have any Bitcoin right now, huh? I mean, it would suck. Like, if you, boy, if you somehow stumble across this, I don't know how you would stumble across this stream, but if you did stumble across this stream and you're like, shit, I don't own any Bitcoin, boy, that would be that'd be rough, wouldn't it? That'd be really, really rough. I hope if you're watching this stream, you own some Bitcoin. I hope you haven't been dabbling in shitcoins. I dabbled in shitcoins before I understood that you could just buy fractions of a Bitcoin, which again is why I have empathy for people who have dabbled in shitcoins. But man, it's like, I think something that people need to realize is like, bro, you're a bad trader. Like you watching this stream right now, you're a terrible trader. I'm so sorry. I'm a terrible trader. Sometimes I like to take a little bit of kind of pocket money and trade a little bit, you know, on Robinhood just to remind myself, like, and I compare it to like, if I would have just held Bitcoin with that like very, very de minimis amount, if I would have just held Bitcoin, I compare it to that, like, how would I have done? It's like, and I would have always done better if I just held Bitcoin, like, because I'm just not a good trader. And honestly, like, none of you are good traders. Like, maybe like one person listening to this stream is like a good trader and you're like, well, I'm actually pretty good. And I, you know, I beat Bitcoin's hurdle rate. But the rest of you don't. It's hard. Like for you to outperform the best performing asset, that's hard. And that's okay. Like, you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to have a second job, which is figuring out how to be a great trader just to make ends meet. You shouldn't need to have a second job just to be able to, you know, to cushion the wages of your first job, which are insufficient because inflation is robbing you blind. You shouldn't have to do that. And so, like, just don't. Just don't, because Bitcoin exists. You don't have to do that. Thankfully, like, that's a beautiful thing. You don't have to do this to yourself. And now we're at 125,548 US infinitely printable cuck bucks per Bitcoin. What a day, guys. What a day it is. I'm such a bad streamer, you guys. I am such a bad, bad streamer. I don't know anything of what I'm doing right now. Like, oh, do I want to change the layout here? I don't know. How do I even do that? I don't even know how to do that on Riverside right now. Let's see. Is there another button for this at the bottom? Oh, here it is. Oh, I found it. Let's see. How's that? Nope. Won't even let me change it. Oh. No, won't let me do those. Those must be premium or something. I don't know. Pay these fucks enough already. Jesus Christ. Pardon my French. All right. 125,049. Okay, now it's 500 even per Bitcoin. What a day. What a day it is. Guys, it's a pleasure to be here with you all. My wife is sleeping soundly down below. Many of you know my wife, Carla Bitcoin. My name is Walker America. Her name's Carla Bitcoin. She kept her maiden name. Totally cool with it, right? She decided to keep the Bitcoin. I debated actually taking her last name, taking the Bitcoin, but then I was like, I'm not a cuck. Like, no, I'll keep the America. Thank you very much. She's fantastic. I'm a very lucky man to have a wife like that. Not only is she smoking hot, but she's a hardcore Bitcoiner and she's just very cool. Like, I'm very appreciative of my wife. Very appreciative that she is also an incredible mother who wants to stay home with our son, raise our son, not send him to, you know, to preschool or whatever, daycare or whatever. I don't even know what the things are because we don't do it. Send her those things all the time. Like, she wants to stay home and take care of him, which I think is just like the greatest thing she could possibly do. And she's like, she's got more degrees than I do, boys. Don't worry. She's got degrees out the ass, but like, she's very happy to not use them. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But moral of the story is she brought up to me just like today. She was like, our checking account's like pretty low right now. Like, are we going to overdraft? I'm like, maybe, babe, maybe, but we're going to be pumping. And you know, it's great when you just like, I don't know how many, I'm sure probably a lot of you guys listening to this have been in that place where you're like, that checking account is getting about overdrafted. And the wife, sweet, sweet, smoking hot wife is coming after you like, okay, don't you think we should leave a little more cushion in there? And you're like, no, babe, no. Like, I'm only putting in there what I, you know, I can afford to lose, like those fiat cuck bucks. But yeah, thank God for understanding Bitcoin wives. People have asked me a number of times, it basically said like, man, what can I do to, what can I do to get my wife more into Bitcoin? And I feel bad because I don't have a good answer for this because my wife is a terrible example of this. Like she was already, she was born in a communist country. Like, of course she was going to understand Bitcoin. Like that's the one thing I noticed is that like Eastern Europeans, they grok Bitcoin so quickly. I mean, same from so many people in South America. I mean, basically people anywhere in the world that grew up under authoritarian communist dictatorships and just mismanagement tend to grok Bitcoin very, very fast. Cause it's like, oh yeah, duh. That makes a ton of sense. Yep. And then they ask the normal questions, you know, okay, well, can the state co-opt this, et cetera, et cetera. Oh no, it can't. Okay. Yep. This makes a ton of sense. Yeah, for sure. Let's do it. Versus the average person in America who has never actually had to grow up with, the worry of being debanked, like in a meaningful way. Like, yeah, you still can in America, but like the vast majority of people in America don't have to worry about being debanked. They don't have to worry about their currency hyperinflating overnight or being devalued by some external authority like the fucking French and what they did with the CFA franc for African countries, which if you're not familiar with it, look up what Alex Gladstein has written about this. It is patently insane and just monetary colonialism, and it's fucking absurd. And the French should stop it, but like, hey, you know, like it works for them, right? But if you're in part of the so-called developed world, you just don't have that need to grok Bitcoin quickly. My father-in-law, who was literally a communist defector, Carla's dad, he says something all the time, which I love. You know, he speaks, of course, great English, but I'll butcher his accent a little bit because he's still got a little bit of an accent. It's like, Walker, you get smart by force, not by choice. That's it. And it's true. The vast majority of people get smart by force, not by choice. They get smart because they have to. They get smart because they need to survive. They don't get smart because one day they're just like, you know what? I think I'll just change my entire worldview about this and adopt this magic internet money. It's like, no, this is why also people though, to Americans and some, you know, Western Europeans credits, if you do grok Bitcoin, when you come from a privilege, like if you have financial privilege, again, a Gladstein term there, right? Financial privilege. If you do come from an area where you have financial privilege and you are still able to grok Bitcoin, that's impressive, right? It's impressive because you are actually getting smart by choice, not by force. Most people in the world, myself included, we get smart by force, not by choice. And so if you do actually make the choice and say, I'm going to get smart right now. I'm going to learn about Bitcoin. I'm going to figure out what the hell is going on here. You are in a rarefied minority. Good for you. That's fantastic. I don't exactly know where I'm going with this, guys. Again, this is it's where I am right now. 11:58 PM on a Saturday evening. Wife and son peacefully asleep. Bitcoin's hitting new all-time highs. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Live streaming the price chart like some open-mouthed YouTube cuck. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Let's see what, guys, on Noster, I have not been paying enough attention. I have not been paying enough attention to you. Let's see what's happening over here. Oh my God, there's so many messages, thousands of messages, guys. Oh my God. Oh my God, let's see. What do we have here? What do we have? Okay. Bets on when Coinbase site crashes. I don't know. Can anyone confirm has Coinbase's site crashed already? Probably. Shitcoins are a crucible, says imposter. I agree. Chris Franklin, happy all-time high, motherfuckers. Yes, Chris, happy all-time high to you too, motherfucker. Imposter says, better to learn without that pain. Yes, it is true. It is better to learn without that pain, but more than likely you will learn with the pain. Like, but again, if you're here right now and you're living in a privileged Western nation where you have financial privilege, you have managed to basically learn without the pain. Yes, have you been rat-fucked by inflation your entire life, basically without knowing it? Yes, have the boomers been extracting wealth from you at an just ridiculous rates for your whole life? And it's not entirely the boomers' fault. Like, they're just products of their own environment, and they never cared enough to like to ask, like, hey, am I just participating in this extractionary system that's absolutely rat-fucking every other generation after us? Sure. There are a lot of great boomers in Bitcoin, too. This is not a comment about all boomers. There are some really incredible ones. Bob Burnett, Larry Lepard, Jethro, George Bodine, to name a couple. Gary Leland, amazing boomers, super based boomers. I'm very grateful to have boomers like this in my life that I can call friends. It's fantastic. Let's read a couple more. 9x9 says going to hit 126 soon. I believe you, 9x9. All right. What else do we have? Mark Oshi says we hit 125,800. I believe you, I guess. I wasn't actually watching it that closely. I was too busy listening to the sound of my own voice. Homeschool, 120%. I wish I could, but I'm a single father, so it's not viable. Imposter, man, good on you. I'm quite confident that you are doing the absolute best for your children that you possibly can, and keep it up, man. I also know that you're about to start a Bitcoin podcast, and I fully support it, and I'm pretty sure I owe you a DM also. So let me know if I missed sending it to you. It's been a hectic fucking week. Happy to hop on a call with you anytime and talk you through what all the things I don't know about Bitcoin podcasting that I'm happy to share. But yeah, let's see. What else do we have here? Someone just says, hell on. Okay, cool. And then October. Okay, Hasky. Yes, October indeed. What else do we have here? McRib indicator never fails. Don't know what to tell you, says Cincy. That's actually a wild thing. Have you guys seen this McRib indicator thing? Like, every time the McRib comes back, Bitcoin pumps. Like, boy, it's wildly accurate. It's kind of insane. And I'm kind of like that. Like, that's, I'm not a, you know, a huge TA fan. Like, I think, like, for the most part, TA is kind of like astrology for men. But if there was a kind of TA that I would subscribe to, it would definitely be like McRib TA. Let me just see. Let's see what we can get here. I think I found it. Okay. There we go. Let's see. Okay. God, I need a producer. By the way, if you're listening right now and you're like, I'd like to produce this terrible live streamed show, well, I've got good news for you, buddy. You can, because I am not good at it. So come on down. Okay. Oh, I did get this shared. Sweet. Okay. The McRib is back. BTC historically goes up greater than 2x after the McRib returns. Don't fade the McRib. And like, this is actually kind of like nuts. Like, let's, okay. Okay. McRib return. Geez, like, okay. So we got the 2021 pump. And then to the blow off top, to then the other blow off top, like the double blow off top, the titcoin blow off top, as they say. Those are a couple of mounds there. I don't care what you say. So McRib pump, another McRib pump around, what is that? July or August 2024. Yep. Epic pump. And then into July 2025, just a massive couple of candles there. Look at those green candles. Wow, just beautiful. Moral of the story is don't fade the McRib, I guess. That is the kind of TA that I'm here for, though. Like, it's not the drawing lines on a chart kind of thing. It's the drawing arrows to point to where the McRib came back kind of thing. Like, that is what we really need. That is the kind of TA that I think is is meaningful for people, really. And you know what? It's tied to such a, like, what a little slice of Americana, like, you know, quite literally, like, that's just beautiful. All right. What else do we have here, guys, on the live stream chat? By the way, guys, how am I doing on the live stream? Is this a good live stream or a bad live stream? I'm honestly not sure because I don't watch live streams myself. So really, this is just like, this is the blind leading the retarded over here, if you know what I mean. But I appreciate everybody. Imposter says Tatum is watching on X. I bet Tatum claimed he was out of the bar. He didn't claim he was out of the bar. He just said he was busy, which I'm like, okay, Tatum. But yeah, he probably is watching right now somewhere. But, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. All right. What else do we have here? Let's see. The McRib is tuned to the 4-year cycle. Interesting. But okay. To say that the McRib is tuned to the 4-year cycle, though, like, we saw that the McRib is actually not entirely dependent on the 4-year cycle. Like, if we go back to this, like, the McRib is, there's multiple introductions here. So we've got McRib in 2021. You could say, okay, yeah, that would be part of the 4-year cycle if you're looking at that discreetly. But then, like, multiple reintroductions here. Was it introduced in 2024 and then again a year later it was reintroduced? Like, that seems kind of like, and then rapid for McDonald's. Then reintroduced again a year after that. Like, why the big shit? The real question is, like, was the bear market in Bitcoin just because there was no McRib on the menu? Like, so from 20, you know, basically McRib's introduced in 2021. We go to a couple of blow off tops and then no McRib for an unseasonably long period of time. And then we're back. McRib, boom, all time high. McRib, boom, all time high. McRib, boom, all time high. McRib again now, boom, all time high. Is McDonald's manipulating the market with the McRib? This is what I'd like to know. Has anyone looked into this? Like, is McDonald's engaging in market manipulation? Is this some sort of, I don't know, is this some sort of, is this insider trading? Is this, I don't know what's happening. I don't want to throw around accusations. This is just speculation here. But boy, if we go back to this chart, it's like, why is such a long gap, McDonald's? Why such an unseasonably long gap? And somebody, if anybody is out there that wants to be really autistic with this, can you look up the usual frequency between McRib reintroductions? And if there happened to be a particularly long, fortunately long period in between the 2021 reintroduction and the 2024, like, obviously that seems to be disproportionately long, but maybe they were just like, we're not going to reintroduce, but no, 2021 was already during COVID. I was going to say that maybe they're doing some weird like COVID thing. Like, but like, you would think if anything, they would have been like, hey, get your vaccine and get a McRib. Like, basically everyone did. It was like, hey, get a donut and get a vaccine and a little myocarditis and you're good to go. Sick. Somebody just said in the Noster chat, Bitcoin is McDonald's pump and dump. That's fair. Jake Hass says, what is a McRib? What is a McRib? Boy, I don't know. What is a cool breeze on a warm summer day? You know, no, I'm just kidding. You just got to go try it, man. Just go get yourself a McRib, get yourself some seed oils there. The real bullish indicator for me will be when McDonald's gets rid of seed oils. I think Steak and Shake, honestly, this is like such an incredible, absolutely just incredible journey that Steak and Shake has been on. Like, if you've been following this at all. So like Steak and Shake got rid of seed oils, which, like, boom, amazing, right? Fantastic. Get rid of those seed oils. And then they introduced beef tallow in terms of, like, that's what they were going to be frying their fries with. They were going to be using beef tallow. Okay, great. Even better. Like, get rid of the seed oils, put in beef tallow. Fantastic. And they're like, we're going to start accepting Bitcoin. And Carl and I, I'll be honest, guys, we've been eating Steak and Shake for a while, right? Like, even when they had seed oils, I'll be honest, like, guilty as charged, mea culpa. But when we went in there and experienced their Bitcoin enabled checkout, like, it was smooth. Like, it was, they did a really nice job with it. Like, it was really easy. It was really easy. It was really quick. Like, it was as it should be. Like, it was like a bunch of Bitcoiners had set it up, because they did, because they used some, you know, third party Bitcoin software. It's fantastic though. Like, and now they just, let me see if I can pull this up. Maybe they just released that they're going to be putting the largest, like, I think they said like the largest legally allowable, flags on their premises. Let me see. Okay. Can you guys see this? Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, yeah, this is like beefsteak and shake, get rid of seed oils, cook with beef tallow, accept Bitcoin, install biggest American flags possible, profit by being based. But this is exactly what they're doing. The flag installations have begun at Steak and Shake. Every Steak and Shake is getting the tallest and biggest American flag that local governments will allow. Also, it makes me wonder, like, do local governments not allow you to just have as big of an American flag as you want? Like, at a certain point, will they be like, no, that American flag's too big. That's too much patriotism, son. Because if so, that's super unpatriotic. I mean, I guess unless it was like near an airport or something and it could be somehow like a flight hazard. But otherwise, I just can't think of a reason why you wouldn't let people have the biggest possible American flags. I don't know. I don't know. I digress. But either way, you love to see this. And what I would love to see is for McDonald's to also get this base. Like, get McDonald's with some big ass American flags. I think McDonald's has probably, they're probably one of the largest corporate landowners in the United States. If I had to guess, like there's McDonald's in every bumblefuck town. Usually there's a couple of them, you know, like they've got to be one of the biggest corporate landowners in the US. Like imagine them flying a giant ass American flag and then slightly lower a Bitcoin flag. That's what I'd like to see. That is what I'd like to see. Okay. That's the old Bitcoin price. Oh my God, you guys, we've crashed. We've crashed down to $124,960. Bitcoin is officially dead. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you had to see it here on my live stream. This is tragic. This is truly, truly tragic. I'm horrified. I'm absolutely horrified. I don't know. I don't know how we'll ever recover from this, guys. I truly do not. Let's go back and check the old Noster live stream. Thank you for everyone who's here on Noster. I appreciate you guys. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, no, this is a lot of messages for me to read. I don't know if I can read this many messages. That's a lot. Double cheeseburger. How many sats in McDonald's? I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. But it is just wild to see where we're at right now. Like the fact that I don't know how many of you guys were around during the depths of the bear market in 2022. Like, so Carl and I started making our short form content in 2021 as it was like summer 2021. So it was as Bitcoin was blowing off its tops, basically. It was at that point we started making this content because we were like, everybody's being so serious. Everybody's taking everything so seriously. Everybody is like, everybody's down in the dumps. Like we need to bring some levity, some lightness to this Bitcoin ecosystem. We've been lurking on Twitter. It was still Twitter at that point for a while before that. And like, let's make a video just about types of Bitcoin haters, right? And it just blew up. Like it really blew up. I'm like, oh shit. Like people seem to like that. That's cool. Okay, fine. And then it was like, okay, we kept making videos. They kept blowing up. Eventually we stopped making them on TikTok because that's where we started because TikTok shadow banned us for talking about COVID, which like, you know, shocker. But it's wild because we started making these things as we got into the bear market, kept making them in the depth of the bear market, you know, through 2022 and 2023. We basically kept making them until Carla was a few months into her pregnancy. And then she was the one doing all the editing. So we were like, she was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm super pregnant. I just want to focus on that. And I was like, yes, good. Perfect time for me to start a podcast. And it was, but man, it's wild to think about where we've come from. Like even just in a couple of years when Bitcoin was crashing, for anyone that was here for it, when Bitcoin was crashing around 106, or excuse me, Jesus. When it was crashing at like 16,000 infinitely printable fiat cuckbuck petrodollars per Bitcoin, the vibes were rough. The vibes were rough in the sense that every random Bitcoin hater was coming out to dunk, right? They were coming out to, oh, I told you. Like, you know, you had the retards being like, yeah, Bitcoin's going to, you know, Bitcoin's going to zero, maybe even negative zero. You know, like what's that? Oh, what's that one guy? Peter Zeihan or whatever. That like, you know, geopolitical macro strategist guy who's super smart, but is just in actuality a big dumb retard. Many such cases. My point being, like, for those of us that were there, we remember very well, like, everyone's telling you you were wrong. Everyone's telling you, and the people that have been in Bitcoin for a few cycles obviously know this super well. I'm not one of those people who's been in for a few cycles. I've, again, only been in for like one full cycle now. Like I got in 2020, right? Like, I'm, you know, I was, quote, at that time, like very late, but now I feel very early. And anyone getting in now is still really early. That's a beautiful thing. But man, it's like cheers to everybody who has actually held out from the depths of the bear market. Because it's not easy. And so many people, I'm sure so many people in, if you're listening to this right now, so many people in your everyday real world life have probably, you know, have probably already started to say, oh, you got lucky. Or, you know, it's just, you got lucky that you were holding Bitcoin. You just, you know, you just bought at the right time. And like, of course, if I would have just bought at the right time, I'd be, you know, I'd be on the gravy train too. But the reality is that it's like, no, you didn't get lucky. Luck has nothing to do with this. It's hard to hold Bitcoin. It's hard to hold Bitcoin and do nothing. It's hard to just like, it's hard to just sit on your hands and not fuck it up. It's really hard to just be like, you know what? Bitcoin's doing what Bitcoin's doing. I'm just going to stick my hands under my ass. I'm just not going to try to trade this. I'm not going to try to do anything. I'm just, you know what? I'm going to focus on my craft. I'm going to focus on creating value. I'm going to focus on my family. I'm going to keep dollar cost averaging. And that's what I'm going to do. But that's hard. Like, that's really hard to do. And that's why most people don't do it, because that takes an insane level of conviction. So if you are here and you have been stacking from the depths of the bear market, from when everyone was calling you a retard for, you know, your magic internet money going to zero, just remember, now you can call them retards. You can be like, listen, retard, I told you to buy Bitcoin when it was dipping way, way, way down low. And that's the funny thing. Everybody always comes to you like in the meat space, right? In your, you know, IRL friends sphere. They always come to you when Bitcoin is ripping. They never come asking about buying Bitcoin when it's dipping, right? It's never when Bitcoin is on sale that they're like, I'd like to buy some Bitcoin. It's like, it's when Bitcoin is, relatively speaking, the most expensive that everybody comes knocking at your door saying, oh, you still into that Bitcoin thing? And you're like, yeah, like I've been telling you to buy since it was, you know, like a fifth of this price, but okay. But that's okay. That's okay. Because you deserve to have more Bitcoin than your friends who didn't listen to you. You deserve it, my fellow pleb. Like, you genuinely deserve that. If you have been stacking sats as you create value and just trying to do the best that you possibly can and staying relatively humble, as Adele would say, you know, you're humble enough now. Like, it's okay. Just don't fucking dance. But like, well done. You've done insanely well. And you know what? Yeah, your friends should have listened to you. Like, they should have. And they didn't. And they're going to kick themselves for it. And probably some of them are going to hate you for it. They're going to hate you because they didn't listen to you. And something American HODL talks about like a lot is that it's very natural that you would get estranged from some friends. And I'm lucky enough to say, like, I've had a number of my buddies like that I've known for like over a decade now, like good friends from college that I've known for a long time now, who have actually been stacking sats and like initially were very on the fence about it. Cause like I'm an engineer. A lot of my buddies are finance guys, like great guys, super smart guys, but it's like, I'm not going to learn from the engineering nerd about the magic internet money. Right. But a lot of them came around to it and started stacking. And I'm so glad they did, because it's like, that's what you want, right? As a Bitcoiner, I think it's, at least for me, I've stopped trying to orange pill the world in my day-to-day interactions. I try to orange pill the world through my podcast, right? That's, you know, that's the goal. That's what a podcast is there for. But in my day-to-day interactions, it's like, what do I care about? What do I prioritize? I prioritize trying to make sure that my immediate family and that my dearest friends grok Bitcoin, save the value of their time and energy in Bitcoin. And like that, and that's it, right? That's it. That's what I want to see. I want to see the people that I care about most saving in Bitcoin. And like, if you can get to that point where like most of the people that you care about most are saving in Bitcoin, like, bravo, hats off. That's an incredible thing. It's not easy. It is really not easy. But if you've gotten there, like, kudos to you, sir or madam. Like, that is fantastic. And you know what? Let's go back to this old price chart here. 125,142 infinitely printable war financing fiat cuck bucks per Bitcoin. Wow. Wow. What a day. What a day. What a night. 12:20 a.m. here in the middle of the good old US of A. I don't know where it is where you're listening, but cheers to you. Have some more of this ice cold, refreshing Miller Lite. If there's anybody who represents Miller Lite here listening, please sponsor me and send me a pallet of Miller Lite. I will work in kind for your delicious beverage. All right. I don't know how long I'm going to go here, guys, but I'm going to go long enough. Let's see what else. Oh, that's, let's see. What do we have here? The McRib returns is truly just insane. How's the Turkish lira versus Bitcoin doing right now? Pretty solid. Pretty damn solid. Look at that. Dude, look, I mean, I'm sorry, but if you look at this chart, this Turkish lira chart, it's like, this is going one way. Like, this is what I love so much about Bitcoin, is that Bitcoin is just like, it's a truth machine, right? It is letting you know what is actually reality. It is letting you know it is the true measuring stick. It is the unit of account. Every, like, the US dollar is a terrible unit of account because it's constantly inflating. It's constantly being debased. There's no way it's a good unit of account. It's the best one we have. Again, it's the skinniest kid at fat camp. It's the prettiest horse at the glue factory. It's insert other analogy, whatever, but it's terrible. Like, you're trying to measure something with a measuring stick that's made of rubber. Like, it's expands and contracts, and it's just like, it's just terrible. Enter Bitcoin. You got a measuring stick that is completely static. It's like, the measuring stick is 21 million. That's it. God, that is a beautiful thing. And I feel like it's going to take us humans a long time for us actually to wrap our minds around that. I don't think it's, if it were actually self-evident, it would be self-evident. Like, people would already be paying attention, but they're not. Like, most of the world isn't. That's the incredible thing right now. You've got $1,000 trillion worth of global wealth denominated in various assets, whether that be, just like money, real estate, gold, collectibles, bonds, et cetera, et cetera. $1,000 trillion roughly. And Jesse Myers Crocius is a great chart on this. You should check it out if you haven't already. You've probably seen it though, because like, even sailors used this chart from Jesse. So you got $1,000 trillion in global wealth. Bitcoin is $2 trillion. $2 trillion. And that may sound like a lot, because it is. It's one of the biggest assets in the world, right? Bitcoin is, which is incredible, because it's just magic internet money, right? That's incredible. But at the same time, it's nothing. It is nothing. I mean, it's over 10x smaller than gold. And gold's great. Gold's been fantastic money for thousands of years. Hats off to gold. Gold's been ripping recently too. I'm super happy for Peter Schiff and all of his buddies. Like, that's fantastic. They needed a win. They really needed a win. But like, Bitcoin's just better money. It's just better money. It's not even a debatable thing. It's just, that is fact. Bitcoin is better money than gold. Bitcoin will eclipse gold's market cap in short order. So that's a, it's an over a 10x to eclipse gold's market cap. Roughly at gold's market cap, Bitcoin's at $1 million a coin. I think that takes less time to get there than people think. I don't think it's going to happen this year, maybe, but I don't think it's going to take that long. I don't think it's going to take that long for the world to wake up to the fact that Bitcoin is perfect money, and that gold's great, but it's inferior. That real estate is great if you're looking for a house to live in and raise a family. If you're looking for utility value out of a house, that house is great for that. You can't live in a Bitcoin. Like, it's, you can't do it. You need a house. But real estate's a terrible investment relative to Bitcoin. Everything's a terrible investment relative to Bitcoin because Bitcoin is just sound money. Now, okay, I shouldn't say everything's a terrible investment. Obviously, even on a Bitcoin standard, you're going to want to invest in companies and in ideas that you think are valuable. So I should choose my words more carefully. Excuse me. Blame it on the Miller Lights. People who think that, like, somehow under a Bitcoin standard, there's like that, how do I put this? It is not the case that everything that is not Bitcoin is a scam. Like, if you truly believe that to be true, like, oh, anyone who invests in anything but Bitcoin, they're a scammer or they're investing in a scam. That's just not true. Now, I'm not talking about shitcoins. Shitcoins are a scam. Yes. What I'm talking about is the fact that, of course, you're going to have investments in things that aren't Bitcoin. Like, if everybody only bought Bitcoin and nobody ever started businesses or raised capital for those businesses or did anything like that, like, what are we even doing? We're not doing anything, right? Like, there's no actual, there's nothing of value being created. Like, what is important to realize is that Bitcoin is, you know, quote, the hurdle rate. It's been very popular to say now, but it's true. If you're thinking about investing in something else, you should think, is this investment going to beat me just holding Bitcoin? And in most cases, the answer is probably no, the investment isn't going to. But this is great. This is why Bitcoin, like, one of the other incredible things about Bitcoin is that it actually incentivizes good investments. It disincentivizes malinvestment. It disincentivizes scams and people dumping their money into real estate or into penny stocks or whatever else. It disincentivizes so much of that because you can just hold Bitcoin and you can do incredibly well. Now, if you want to invest in a Bitcoin startup, in a, I don't know, in anything, in some brick and mortar business, whatever you want to do, by all means, go for it. But be aware of the fact that your hurdle rate is Bitcoin's compound annual growth rate. And that's really hard to beat. And I think Bitcoiners are aware of that. But, like, in a hyper Bitcoinized future, it's like, we're still going to have loans and credit. We're still going to have investment, obviously, in things that aren't just Bitcoin, because at that point, Bitcoin is ubiquitous. Bitcoin is the money. And when Bitcoin is the money, obviously you're going to invest your money in things. Like, what a wonderful world that will be. I don't know if I'm going to see that world. Like, that may be the world that is, that my son grows up in. I hope that's the world my son grows up in. It's wild to think about that. It's wild to think about, what does the future actually look like for the generation of our children? What does that actually, realistically, what does that look like? And I hope it looks really good. I think we're going to enter a period of intense, intense turmoil. I think things are going to get really fucking messy and really nasty. A lot of people are going to get hurt. And many, many, many fiat currencies are going to fail. And through that process of fiat currencies hyperinflating and failing, a lot of people will get hurt. But I'm ultimately bullish on humanity and I'm hopeful because we do have Bitcoin. We do have a way to break the cycle. Like, the cycle, this is, I was talking to Jeff Booth about this, not on a Bitcoin podcast, but it should have been a Bitcoin podcast. Everything should be a Bitcoin podcast. But I was talking to Jeff Booth about this because he's somebody that I really look up to. I really admire. The Price of Tomorrow is a book that, like, I thought I was deep down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and then I read The Price of Tomorrow and read Jeff saying, you know, the natural state of the free market is deflation. Technology is naturally deflationary. And I was like, oh my God. But I was talking with Jeff and I was running this theory I had by him that we have this cyclical convergence. It's basically what I'm calling my super cycle theory, essentially, which is that we're at this point in time right now where we have a convergence of a ton of different cycles. So the fourth turning is the obvious one, right? This is the one that, like, everybody's heard of the fourth turning, right? But we have a bunch of other ones. We've got these Kondratiev waves, which are economic cycles of capitalism. It's a Russian guy, a Soviet, actually, that came up with this. He was killed for espousing this theory. The theory only came to light, you know, many decades later. But we're nearing a change in Kondratiev waves as well. We're, in my opinion, if we look at this from the perspective of Polybius, who was a Greek philosopher and historian, his anacyclosis theory, we're nearing the point of democracy descending into mob rule, which is right at the end before it switches back to the beginning again, which is basically a strong leader, a monarch emerges and pulls the mob out of chaos with, you know, an iron fist, but also like into a very glorious era. Okay. And this isn't an endorsement of monarchy by any means. It's just like, this is just another cyclical theory. And that goes from monarchy to dictatorship, to aristocracy, to oligarchy, to democracy, to oglocracy, oglocracy being mob rule. And then back again to monarchy, to dictatorship, to aristocracy, to oligarchy, to democracy, to oglocracy, and again, back again. So that's Polybius' anacyclosis. And you got Ray Dalio's long-term debt cycles, which also seem to be coming to a head right now. You've got fiat currency life cycles, which also, like, the US dollar is kind of operating on borrowed time right now when it comes to a fiat currency life cycle. And there's probably another couple of cycles that I'm forgetting. But the point being that we're at this point of cyclical convergence. We're at this, we're creating this super cycle right now. And what does that actually mean for what happens next? It's going to get messy. It's going to get dark. It's undoubtedly going to get violent. That is just like, of course that's going to happen. But how do you make it through? And when I brought this up to Jeff, I asked him, I was like, and so like, how do you, like, what happens afterwards? It just starts all over again. You know, it's naturally, it would just start all over again and we'll do this again, but we'll, you know, maybe we'll extend this life cycle. He says, no, like, Walker, like, we broke the cycle now because Bitcoin exists. Of course, it was like, I'd had some drinks at this point too, but I was like, okay. So we don't necessarily have to fall back into these cycles because Bitcoin exists. We don't necessarily have to go back into this history, you know, not repeating itself, but rhyming over and over and over again ad nauseum, grinding the average person into the dust because Bitcoin exists. And also, like, AI exists. Like, that's another X factor in all of this, right? Like, that the folks composing these theories obviously could not have even conceptualized, especially like Polybius, you know, a couple thousand years ago in Greece. He wasn't thinking about AI. I don't think so, at least. But that was an interesting switch for me. It was realizing that, yes, all of these cycles are coming to a head right now. But on the other side of what will be a chaotic period, we have a new dawn. We have something that's never been seen before. Like, we have a new paradigm that we will operate under because we have Bitcoin. And that sounds kind of like, you know, like floofy and esoteric and whatever, but like, I genuinely think it's true. We've never had anything like Bitcoin. We've never had perfect money. We've never had a truly free market for any meaningful length of time. Maybe for short periods of time, but any time that the money is controlled by a central group of people, you can't possibly have a free market. You can't have a free market if you don't have a free market in money. Bitcoin enables a free market in everything else because it is a free market for money. Like that, that's the beauty of it, right? And so I don't know. I think that that's like a, that's a super meaningful thing. It's very heartening to know that while we may go through a period of incredible upheaval, and it may get really dark for a while. Like I'm not ruling that out, right? Like you should, I'm not trying to fearmonger here, but you should very much be prepared for what may be a dark period to come or not. It might be just fine, but like, I don't know, look around at what's happening in the world right now. Look at all the totalitarian laws that are being introduced. Look at what's happening in Europe. Look what's happening in the UK. Like as just like, those are canaries in the coal mine right now. Like, fuck. It doesn't look good. There's a great book by a French guy, Jean-François Revel, The Totalitarian Temptation. And it's like, if you can, you should be able to find some copies. I think actually you can probably find it on Amazon. The copy I have was like, has a stamp from a local public library on it. It's a great book though. My father-in-law who escaped communism told me to read it. It's incredible. The totalitarian temptation is ultimately very strong. The temptation to centralize power is very strong. The temptation to exercise that power over others, to exert your own will, is very strong. There's an incredible quote in the book that is, you should tell to all your socialist retard friends. One often wonders what would become of socialism if capitalism wasn't there to support it. And I love that quote because it's just like, it's true. Like anyone who tries to talk about the socialist ideal in the modern sense, well, look at Norway, or look at, you know, look at any of these incredibly homogenous Scandinavian countries, or look at, you know, whatever else. It's like, that's only possible because capitalism is also there to support it. You know, we all know that socialism like doesn't work. Like this is a sidebar, but you know, I'm rambling and I'm here by myself. Nobody's here to check me. So whatever. You should treat communists worse than you treat Nazis. Like if somebody's like, I'm a Nazi, like that person's probably a big old piece of shit. Like you should treat them like a big old piece of shit. Like absolutely. Like that's fucked up for anyone to be like, I'm a Nazi in this day and age, knowing what the Nazis have done, knowing what that ideology is. That'd be a fucked up thing, right? It's even more fucked up, in my opinion, to say like, I'm a communist. But somehow that's socially acceptable. It's socially acceptable to say, I'm a communist. You can be a college professor and say, I'm a communist. You can be a very popular pundit and say, I'm a communist. I believe in socialism. Like whatever else, you know, like because socialism, let's be honest, it's just one step on the road to communism, right? Communism has killed an order of magnitude more people than Nazism has. Than fascism, even fascism generally, if you want to say that the Nazis were fascist, whatever, National Socialist Party of Germany, whatever, but let's call them fascists for the purposes of argumentation. Let's assume that they're fascists. Let's lump them in with all other fascists. Communists, under communism, an order of magnitude more people have died. It's in the hundreds of millions of people that have died under communism. And somehow, though, it's just like, it's totally fine. Just be like, yeah, I'm a communist. It's like, you hear somebody say they're a communist, you should ridicule them. You should eviscerate them. Because first of all, they're probably retarded and they won't be able to in any way stand up to the verbal onslaught that you should bring on them. The second, you don't have to worry about them physically because they're guaranteed to be just weak little soy boys, right? Guaranteed. There's like, you don't see any Chad communists. You know what I mean? Like, find me a Chad. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Nope. Why? Well, because nobody with any meaningful amount of testosterone would be a communist. Just, it's not going to happen. So ridicule communists. Ridicule them. Ridicule socialists. Because it is ridiculous. It is absurd. And it is a destructive ideology that has killed hundreds of millions of people. And we should treat it with more contempt than we do Nazism. We should also treat Nazism with contempt. we should treat communism with more contempt, because it has been, from an empirical standpoint, more destructive. So this is, I don't even know how we got here, guys, but you know, clearly Bitcoin is being too boring for like a couple of minutes. So I needed to tell you that, like, fuck communists, like, it, you know, dear Lord. Okay. What are we doing here? 41 AM my time. Bitcoin is at 125,327 infinitely printable US cuck bucks per Bitcoin. Wow. Wow. What a day. What a day. How's everybody doing out there? How's everybody? Let's check in on Noster. Does anybody have thoughts on my small communist rant? That was honestly a pretty tame communist rant for you guys. Like, I've had many stronger communist rants, or I should say anti-communist rants. My path to fire says, in Europe, the majority are commies. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because I feel like I know a lot of Europeans. It depends which part of Europe, right? Because like Eastern Europe, man, they like, yes, there are still some of the old folks who are like, you know what? It was simpler during communism. And, you know, everybody just had their job. They had their role. It was simpler times. You're going to have some of those, right, that are hearkening back because it's too complicated in this messy pseudo-capitalistic society. You're going to have some of that. But by and large, what I found in former communist countries is that the people are insanely based and they fucking hate communism. And that's, I just think that's fantastic. Like, we need more hatred of communism. The problem is that in a lot of Western European countries, in contrast to the Eastern European countries, the Western European countries didn't live under the fucking oppressive yoke of communism. And so now they themselves become kind of commie. Like, I mean, you see like everything that's happening in like the UK and in France, like it is so sad because two truly great nations are now just acting like little commie cucks. And that's just tragic. Like, how do I put this simply? There's a reason that you never hear of people escaping to communism. There's a reason that people are always escaping from communism. Nobody's fleeing to North Korea right now. And this is one of the most obvious examples. North Korea versus South Korea. It's like East and West Germany, but even more modern, right? It's the experiment still running to this day. Look at North Korea, look at South Korea. North Korea is communist. South Korea is not communist. Which one is faring better? Which one is starving and which one is thriving? You know, this is just like, it's just so blatantly obvious and it's so incredibly sad that so many young people in the West, and not just young people, like there are plenty of commie boomers who are like, if you're a communist boomer, like you are just a full-blown retard. I'm sorry, but like, there's just no excuse for you. If you're a commie boomer, it's like, you are an idiot. Like either you're an idiot or you know exactly what you're doing and you're just evil. It's like one of the two, retarded or evil, pick one. If you're a young person, you're a communist. Okay. I feel a little bit bad for you. You've been indoctrinated for a long time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you've been indoctrinated as such. It's terrible. It's terrible how our public school system has failed. How much, and by the way, guys, you want to know where the mandatory public education comes from? Do you know? Do you? Well, let me tell you. Mandatory public education, it has its roots in Prussia, which is Germany. Do you know that in Germany today, it's still illegal to homeschool your kids? Do you know who made it illegal to homeschool your kids? It was Adolf Hitler. Hitler made it illegal to homeschool your kids. Why would he do that? Oh, well, I guess it's because if the state controls education, if the state is indoctrinating your children for, you know, 8, 10+ hours a day, they control them. They control the generation of the future. They control the youth of the nation. So it's funny because Germany tries to go so far away from, they go to the opposite extreme of trying to be so inclusive to basically be like, no, we're not Nazis anymore. See, we love everyone. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, it's a, let's have a nice beer together, and it's totally cool, man. I love Germans, by the way. Like, I have a lot of German friends, and they're fantastic. This is not me digging at Germans. This is, I will make fun of Americans equally, right? If you guys know me, you know that. But I just want to clarify. If you're a German listening to this, I love you. And if you're listening to this as a German, you're probably pretty based. So cheers. But it's insane to me that in Germany, as much as they've tried to get away from Hitler, get away from the Nazis, they've kept one of the most fundamental Nazi laws, which is compulsory public education. Mandatory public education. Why is that? Why would you keep that? Why, if you were trying to dismantle everything that Hitler and the Nazis did, if you wanted to get rid of everything that Hitler did, why would you keep that? Why would you keep the compulsory public education? It's almost like, you want to be able to control people. And the best way to do it is by indoctrinating them from a super young age. And somebody just, pointed out, and this is it's hilarious. It's a joke I made. Well, oh, you like school, so you like Hitler. This is the correct attitude. If you're against homeschooling, you have the same opinion as the Nazis do about homeschooling. This is how I also just my path to fire just coming to Hitler was also a vegetarian. I feel like I'm not sure if I knew that. I feel like I maybe knew that, but either way, it explains a lot. I'm not, you know. Guess the guy should have been on a carnivore diet. But seriously, like, you've got people who are self-professed commies out there who are like, we need to be sending our kids to public school and doing all this. And it's like, we need to ridicule these people. And we certainly shouldn't let these people raise our children. I just had I had George McHale, who's an awesome dude. He wrote I've got the book right here, actually. I Am Not Your Bruh, 21 Keys to Sound Parenting. I'm not being paid to say this. I just like George a lot. I had him on my show recently a couple of times. And like, he had this quote that was like, somebody's going to be indoctrinating my kids. I'd rather it be me. And I thought that was like beautiful. And it's true. It's like, who do you want to indoctrinate your kids? Somebody's going to do it. Who do you want it to be? You want it to be the state? You want it to be the fucking blue-haired communist state? Or do you want it to be you? Like, I want it to be me. I was also, guys, I was homeschooled. I'm not a total freak, right? I mean, I'm a little bit of a freak. But like in the Marty Bent way of, you know, like sub-freaks, that's the kind of freak I identify as. I was homeschooled, made the choice to go to public school in high school because I thought I was a retard. Ended up not being a retard. Graduated number one in my little bumblefuck town, which doesn't matter. But the point being, fuck communists. If anybody says they're a communist, ridicule them. Communists should be treated like Nazis. Nazis hate homeschooling. If someone hates homeschooling, they're a Nazi. And with that, Bitcoin's at 125,081 infinitely printable communist cuckbucks per Bitcoin. Another funny thing about communism, if you've read the Communist Manifesto, which I should really just read out loud on the show one of these days, maybe I'll read it tonight. I think I have a copy sitting around here somewhere near. One of the things that Marx talks about in like his 10 different prescriptions for how to institute a communist state is centralized credit, is a central bank. Karl Marx literally talks about one of the key ways to making to instituting communism is centralizing credit issuance, centralizing the bank. And it's like, oh my God, the Federal Reserve is just a commie institution. Like, it's just absurd. I don't know, guys. Like, we need to be ridiculing communists a lot harder. There was that whole thing. You guys remember that thing about punch a Nazi in the face or whatever. Forget when that, I don't even remember the context of it, but there was an uproar about it on the right. I think about like, well, you shouldn't be punching someone in the face. And like, I agree. Violence isn't the answer, right? You should verbally punch someone in the face, verbally, with your words. You should be able to eviscerate someone's face with your words. And the great thing about communism is that it's fucking stupid. It's just a stupid ideology. It's just dumb. It appeals to dumb, dumb people. It appeals to people who don't actually work for anything in their life. That's who communism appeals to. And like anybody who has any ounce of motivation in them, who has any ounce of just like self-starter in them, will just think communism is absurd, as they should. And that's the great thing about it, is that it's just communism. Like, communism is a great filter. Like, anybody who tells you that they're a communist, like a self-professed communist, or even a self-professed socialist. So again, socialism is just, it's on that slippery slope to communism, which is all part of the totalitarian temptation. Fuck it all. Fuck all of that. You don't need it. It's never worked. It's never going to work. The only reason socialism kind of works sometimes is because it has capitalism to support it. That's it. And we don't even have real capitalism. They say real communism has never been tried. Real capitalism has never been tried. But my God, we might actually have a chance to have real capitalism with Bitcoin. And isn't that exciting? I think that's incredibly exciting. What happens under real capitalism? If you have real capitalism for a prolonged period of time, can you imagine? Like, everything should be getting cheaper forever. Everything forever should cost less. Year after year after year after year, because that's what technology does. If you haven't read Jeff Booth's The Price of Tomorrow, you should read it. It's a pretty quick read. It's not a Bitcoin book per se. He wrote it like it was part of his Bitcoin journey, actually, to write that book. But it's just a phenomenal book. And it will open your eyes, because the reality is that technology is deflationary. Technology makes everything cheaper forever. Everything should be getting cheaper forever, but everything's getting more expensive forever. Why is everything getting more expensive forever? Everything is getting more expensive forever because they, the governments and the central banks, print money out of nothing that you have to work for. They print out of thin air the thing that you have to put your blood, sweat, and tears into earning. They print out of thin air the thing you need to sacrifice for. They print out of thin air the thing that people literally die for. They print out of thin air your lifeblood. Because that's what money ultimately represents, right? Money represents your work. Money is your proof of work. You earn money, and that is your proof of work. It's your market value. The market value of your time and energy expressed in whatever that unit of account is. It's the US dollar, it's Turkish lira, if it's Bitcoin. Hopefully it's Bitcoin. They are stealing your life when they print that money. They are stealing your life, your life's work, your life's energy when they print money. When they debase the currency, I'm not being hyperbolic here. When they debase the currency, they are debasing your life. They're debasing your time, your energy. That's fucked up, man. If more people understood this, there would be riots in the street and we would have burned that motherfucker to the ground a long, long time ago. But most people don't understand it. Most people are still asleep. That's okay. They'll wake up eventually. They'll get smart by force, not by choice. But for now, if you happen to be listening to this, maybe you've been on this stream since the beginning, in which case I thank you. Maybe you stumbled across this stream somewhere along the way. What are we? Oh, and we crashed down below 124,000. We're 124,967 infinitely printable fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin. You've stumbled along the stream somehow. You're early. You're really early. Welcome. We've got a long way to go because most people are still very happy to work for something that a cabal of central bankers can print for free. I think anyone listening to this is probably not happy to work for that. They're not happy to work for that at all. They do not want to work for something that a cartel of unelected banker bureaucrats can print out of thin air. They don't even have to print it anymore. They can just literally make a few keystrokes. Fuck, you don't have to accept this. That's the beauty of Bitcoin. You don't have to accept this anymore. You can just say, no, thank you. I'd rather save the value of my time and energy in something that you can't rat fuck into oblivion. You can just save in Bitcoin and no one can debase you. That's incredible. What a cheat code, what a life hack, what a superpower it is to be able to save in something that governments and central banks cannot debase. I'm very grateful to be alive at this moment in time right now. I'm very glad that my son and future children that we have will grow up in a world where Bitcoin already exists. And if all of us listening right now do our job correctly, because Bitcoin doesn't need any one of us individually, right? Bitcoin doesn't care. But Bitcoin obviously needs all of us. Like, we are the network. All of us are the network. So it needs us collectively. And if we do our job right, the world that our children will grow up in has the potential to be such a beautiful place. This world today is pretty beautiful too. I had a great day today with the family. Had some hot pot outside for dinner. I don't know if you guys eat hot pot. Like Mongolian hot pot. Like you're basically just boiling super spicy water and cooking meats and veggies in there for a couple of seconds each and then popping them out. It's like shabu shabu, but way better. Had a great day. You can have a great day no matter where you are, even if you're not eating hot pot, although I highly recommend eating hot. But there is so many opportunities to find joy in this world, even in this fiat world that we live in. I hope that you do. You should be able to. But the world that we might be able to usher in is something so different. And it has so much more potential than this one we live in right now. It's really hard. If you're like, I'm in my early 30s. And if you're listening right now, you're in your early 30s or younger or older. It actually doesn't matter. It's hard for everyone to get ahead. It's really hard. Like there are stupid games that you have to play. This is a system in which you are incentivized to be a scammer. You're incentivized to try and take advantage of the system, of other people. In the fiat system, being moral is a great way to make less money. But like, I don't know, at least for me, it's like you'd rather have your soul and your integrity. But that's the problem with this system, is that it incentivizes degenerate behavior. It incentivizes scammer behavior. The system that we can create on a Bitcoin standard has so much incredible potential because the incentives are actually aligned with humanity's best interests at large, not for a specific subset of humanity. Bitcoin's not for everyone, but it's for anyone. For anyone who's willing to learn. And I don't know, that's just something that gives me a lot of hope. I think a lot more now that I have a son about what happens after I'm gone. If it weren't for Bitcoin, I'd probably be pretty nihilistic. I'd probably be pretty down in the dumps about the state of the world and where it might be going. And that's not to say that I don't think things are going to get dark and confusing and again, a bit violent in the years to come here for a short time. But what we have on the other side of that, I think, is what's important. And it's something really powerful. Because we have Bitcoin. Because we don't have to keep getting rat fucked by the state. That's what it ultimately comes down to. Bitcoin is unrat fuckable technology, right? It's a beautiful thing. We have the chance to start again, a clean slate. We have the chance to build a different kind of world than the boomers built. We have a chance to fix the incentives. We're watching Bitcoin right now. And again, guys, I've never talked about price this much, I don't think, on any show. I'm not even going to call this part of the Bitcoin podcast because it's not, I'm not going to put this in the RSS feed. This is just, this exists for this moment in time. But I don't think I've ever talked about price this much in a show. But you know what? What we're watching in real time as we watch this price, currently at 125,174 infinitely printable fiat cuckbuck petrodollar war dollars per Bitcoin. What we're watching happen in real time is the repricing of the fiat system. We are watching the fiat system trend to zero in terms of Bitcoin. We are watching the fiat system go to its marginal cost of production. The marginal cost of a fiat unit is zero. It's a keystroke. That's it. We're watching fiat begin to express its true value as Bitcoin serves as our measuring stick and shows us exactly how fiat is being repriced and how everything within that fiat system is being repriced. And again, if you're listening right now, like, man, we are so early. We are so early to this party. And I would encourage you, like, my, just like at a personal level right now, I, as a new dad, like this is our first kid. He's like 20 months right now. I'm doing my best to juggle, and this is a difficult juggle. Imagine any dad out there knows this. I'm doing my best to juggle. How do I create as much value as possible and make as much money as possible right now to stack as many sats as possible right now? But at the same time, there's a point of diminishing return there because what I really want to do is spend time with my son and my wife and trying to find that balance of, okay, what do I do right now in this particular moment? Do I need to keep working right now? Or should I just go, you know, take my son for a walk outside and go find some cool sticks that look like guns? Maybe start a fire. He loves starting fires. Maybe I should just do that because, like, I don't need to push this a little bit more. But then it's like, you know, you're thinking more long term. You're like, well, I want to set and make sure my family's always set up. And heaven forbid, should anything happen to me, I want to make sure that they're taken care of and they, you know, never have to worry about a thing. That's a tough thing to juggle right now. And it's especially tough to juggle in the fiat system. But thankfully, because of Bitcoin, there's less of a worry there. There's less of a worry that I won't be able to make sure my family's okay because I know that they'll have Bitcoin. It's also just giving me a different, I guess, a different view on my priorities. But I think for any young dads out there, you're feeling this struggle, right? And probably for old dads too. I'm sure it's a constant struggle. I'm sure the struggle doesn't go away. I'm not trying to discount the old dads out there. Even the boomer dads. There are many great boomer Bitcoiners. I've met a lot of you. I can't wait to meet more. But this idea that how do you strike the balance between wanting to make sure as a man you take care of your family and you make sure they're taken care of even if the worst should happen to you and you make sure that you have everything in place to be able to set them up when hopefully you are there, you know, knock on wood, for a very, very, very long time. You want to make sure that you can give them the life that you want to give them. But ultimately, it's like when anybody looks back in their deathbed, right? They're never like, I wish I would have made that extra $10,000 or extra whatever. Like, no, nobody's ever. It's like, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have spent, like, that's what everyone always says. I wish I would have spent more time. I wish I would have been home more. Wish it wouldn't have worked so much. That's what everyone says. Everyone. I mean, okay, maybe not everyone. You can probably find a couple of examples, right? But pretty much everyone's like on their deathbed and they're like, yeah, boy, I guess I should have been around more. Should have just been home more. Should have just been present more. And so that's what I try to lead with. But at the same time, like, obviously you can't just be a fucking bum that does nothing. Like, you do need to produce value. You do need to make sure that your family's taken care of course. And you should. But man, it's a hard balance to strike. It's a really hard balance to strike. I don't have the answers. I'm just literally still figuring it out. I'm a new dad. Try to figure it out. I don't think I'm going to figure out the answer. I'm probably going to be on my deathbed someday being like, yep, didn't get it right. Probably just going to have wished I would have spent even more time with my family and less time working. But I don't know. It's hard, man. It's hard, but I am grateful because Bitcoin at least does give us a much better chance to find that balance. And I think that that's really important. The opportunity to find the balance, because you can't find the balance in the fiat world. The fiat world is a rat race, hamster wheel, whatever you want to say. It's impossible to find balance. There is no balance in the fiat world. It just doesn't exist. With Bitcoin, we can find some balance because you have the freedom to actually make the decision about what you want to do with your time. You actually have, you own your time more when you own Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's the only thing you can own. And I think that that's, I'm very grateful that Bitcoin exists for that. I mean, thank God for Bitcoin. Man, I wish I could meet Satoshi someday, just to shake his hand, have a beer, boy, and just thank him, because, man, imagine the world without Bitcoin. What a dark fucking place that would be. Not a place I'd like to live in, folks. Not a place I'd like to live in. Oh boy, guys, sorry, I got super serious there, but it is like 1 a.m, to be fair, and I've had some beers, so, you know, like, what are you going to do? We're at 125,126 infinitely printable fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin. What a day it is. What do we have in the Noster chat here? Chef Tommy, thank you for the zap. I think there's been a couple other zaps I didn't thank people for. Phil Mustang, thank you for the zap. Oh, Uncle Jim, you're in here. You just zapped 6969 sats. I just saw your message on Signal too. I was looking over here at the side. What's up, Uncle Jim? Andy Nelson, thank you for the zap of 5,000 sats. Shut a face, thank you for the zap. Let's see, did I get everybody? Oh, let's see. Another Andy Nelson, thank you. Sawzall, thank you for the zap. Imposter, thank you for the zap. Carmack Local Corner Store LCS, thank you for the zap. Daniel, you son of a bitch, thanks for the zap. And let's see, Heather Larson, thank you for the zap. What else do we have? A couple more. Nakas 18, thank you. Chris, thank you. And the first zap of the night was from T-Dub. Thank you. Guys, it's nice to be here with you. I hope you guys are having a good time. I don't know if this is good. I don't know if I'm good live streaming by myself. I don't think I've actually ever done a live stream by myself, but it just felt like an appropriate time. I was either going to do this or I was going to edit Bitcoin podcasts. And honestly, so it's kind of like my nightly routine is Carl and I put our son to bed. Eventually then I put Carla to bed because she, sweet thing, will usually fall asleep far before me. We were trying to watch the Naked Gun Liam Neeson version tonight, which honestly I thought was just a good old fashioned slapstick comedy. We need more of that. Just, you know, no weird woke agenda in it. Just like a funny slapstick, stupid movie. Loved it. Pam Anderson in there too. Love that her and old Liam are, you know, apparently together right now. That's like as far as my gossip into Hollywood goes, is I'm just like, apparently, you know, Liam Neeson, after losing his wife and after many years, decides like, you know what, maybe I'll get back in the scene again, and it'll be with Pam Anderson. It's like, bless you, sir. Yeah, that's what a respect. It's a respectful way to honor your wife's legacy after many years. And then if you were going to get back in the market, like doing it with Pam Anderson, like, hats off to you, Qui-Gon Jinn. You know what I mean? Like, poof, boy, nice job. But yeah, so moral of the story, she goes to bed, and this is the case most nights, goes to bed far before me. And then I come to the old podcast studio. Usually I do my editing, though, on a walking pad. I am a walker, after all. That's literally my name. And so usually I do my editing on a walking pad. But tonight, I don't know, I didn't fucking feel like editing. And so here we are. We're still streaming. What are we at price-wise, guys? What are we at? Let's see. We're at $125,011. That's Bitcoin's so boring right now. So boring. Just chilling there at 125 fucking thousand cuck bucks per coin. What a ridiculous thing. I can't imagine how the people feel who have been in since like Bitcoin was, you know, like 1,000 or 100 or 10 or $1. Like, I'm not one of those people. And so like, but like, I still feel crazy that I was able to buy in the depths of the bear market, you know, stack some sats at like 16K, you know, scrounging up whatever pennies I could. Like, man, I can't imagine how people feel who have been in since, you know, God only knows when. Like, that fucking whale who sold, what was it, 80,000 Bitcoin? That's just nuts. I just can't even fathom like $80 billion worth of Bitcoin. I mean, it's worth more now, but like just mind blowing. It's got to just be a trip. It's amazing to see the world being repriced by autists. You love to see it, right? The world was controlled by psychopaths and is controlled by psychopaths right now. There's a great book John Ronson has called The Psychopath Test. You should read it. It's short. It's quick. It's basically about how we see a ton of psychopathy at high levels of publicly traded companies, government, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that we were in an era of psychopathic control for a long time. We're still in that era. I think that we are transitioning to an era of autistic control. And I think that's ultimately much better. Like, the autists will do a better job than the psychopaths did. Because, excuse me, autists can feel empathy. Even if they're bad at dealing with people, it doesn't matter. They can still feel empathy. Psychopaths literally can't feel empathy. They don't care about their fellow human. They don't care at all. They literally only care about themselves. So like, which would you rather have running a company, a government, whatever, like a psychopath or an autist? Well, I'll take an autist 10 times out of 10. We need more autists in government and fewer psychopaths. But the problem is those psychopaths, they're crafty fuckers. They are slick. They are slick motherfuckers. We need to root out the communists. We need to root out the psychopaths. Get them the fuck out of here and get more autists in power. That's what I have to say about that. Milk, thank you for the zap. 420 sats. Amazing stream, brother. Thank you. You're going to make me blush. I realize when I say things like root out the communists, that may sound a little questionable. Luckily, the communists root themselves out, because modern communists can't wait to tell you they're a fucking commie. You know what I mean? Like, they cannot wait to be like, yeah, I'm a communist. Yeah. You don't care about everyone. You don't want everyone to be equal and just have a decent standard of living. And just, you know, you don't believe in universal healthcare, and you don't think healthcare is a human right. And you don't think that, you don't care about these like really fucking banal talking points that I think sound really smart, but actually just, you know, reveal that I'm a big dumb fucking retard. Oh, communists. They're exhausting. They're exhausting. Maybe I'll just give a repost to this stream and just say communists versus autists. Communist psychopaths versus autists. Yeah, there we go. That's better. Man, I'll just say again, we should really, really be ridiculing the commies like as much as possible. Treat them worse than you would treat a Nazi. Seriously. Like, it's, again, Nazis, bad. This isn't Walker saying Nazis are good. Like, Nazis are bad. That's a bad ideology. Communism is a bad ideology. You should just absolutely ridicule it. And anybody who tried, like, just like, you can just very easily Google or ask any of the various chats, ask ChatGPT, ask Grok, ask Gemini, ask Claude, ask whichever chat you're currently in a relationship with. Just ask them, like, which political ideology has resulted in more death? Which one? Fascism or communism? And it'll try to do some weird moralizing at first. You should actually try this. It'll try to do some weird moralizing at first about how something like, well, fascism is, just gotta be careful with it. Ultimately, it'll be like, well, okay, you know, fascism, like maybe like, you know, five to 10 million, you know. And this is, again, assuming that the Nazis were fascists and not just actually like a weird psychotic breed of totalitarian socialists, whatever. We don't even have to get into that. We'll just call them fascists, right? We'll just say, for the purpose of argument, the Nazis are fascists. But it doesn't matter, because the Nazis are a drop in the bucket compared to what the communists have done. Again, order of magnitude, maybe more. It's commies, just a lot of people die. A lot of people die. And if they don't outright kill them, they starve to death, which is honestly just like the worst. This is getting to be a super depressing stream though, guys. I'm sorry. Let's pick this up a notch. Let's talk about Caps Lock, Moon Boy, Bitcoin. Okay, so I do a thing sometimes, guys. I do this more so on X, less so on Nostr. On Nostr, Nostr is the only place where I try to every single day post the phrase, "It's a beautiful day to be alive," with a picture of the sky wherever I happen to be looking at it when I'm touching grass at that particular moment. I try to do that every day. I don't always get it every day. I live in the Midwest, and sometimes the sky's a little bit murky. We've had some great skies lately. Leaves are changing right now. It's beautiful. What a time to be alive. I love the fall. But I try to post this every day. On X, on the other hand, I tend to troll a lot more and post a lot more engagement farming clickbait. And one of the things I do, which my wife absolutely hates, but I think secretly loves a little bit, is I post, I'll quote tweet something or just tweet something with just, "Are you paying attention?" in all caps. And this I thought was a very obvious tongue-in-cheek like nod to all the Caps Lock Moon Boys who were like, "Here we go, trillions incoming, like buckle up." Apparently it's not so obvious to everyone, but again, 80% of people are functionally retarded, so that's a different, you know, whatever. 79% technically, like if we go by Pareto, sure it's 80, but Pareto is really just ripping off Fibonacci, which is okay, but whatever, we won't get into the weeds here. 80% of people are too retarded to understand it anyway. But point being, I thought that this was really obvious that this was like a troll. Apparently it's not, because people are like, "God, it's so obnoxious, you with your caps." And I'm like, "Oh my God, you guys, I'm trolling the Caps Lock people." But apparently, like, you can't even do some really obvious satire anymore without people getting up in arms about it. So I don't know. Point being, boy, if you ever see me doing anything about an announcement of an announcement, or anything in Caps Lock, it's almost certainly me trolling. I just want to put that out there. So I'm sorry if I deceived you, guys. I feel really bad about it. But I just thought it was obvious. I don't know, man. What are we at now? Oh, my God. We've crashed. 124,921 infinitely printable fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin. It's crazy they still let you exchange these little digital fiat scraps for Bitcoin. Just wild. Absolutely wild. What a world. What a world. Oof. Boy, oh boy. Guys, we'll see. Oh my God, it's 1:21 right now. I just love that the wife and son are just sleeping away peacefully right now. Not a care in the world, as it should be. Meanwhile, I'm out here in the trenches, just Bitcoin podcasting. People don't understand the life of the Bitcoin podcaster. I mean, my God, it's like, I described this recently. It's basically like live streaming brain surgery on two different people at the same time to 100,000 people. And that's basically, it's the weight the Bitcoin podcaster carries on their shoulders. It's not easy. It's not easy. It really isn't. But, you know, somebody's got to do it. And if you're listening to this right now and you're like, "This guy fucking sucks. I could do a better job than him." You're right. You could. And you know what, Sonny? You should start a Bitcoin podcast. You listening to this right now, you should start a Bitcoin podcast. You should start it tonight, in fact. Maybe not tonight. Tonight, well, unless you're on European time, in which case it's like it's this morning for you. So in that case, start it right away. But yeah. We need more Bitcoin podcasts. You may think I suck, but hey, just listen to a TradFi podcast sometime. Oh boy, golly, do they ever suck. Like, they are the worst. It is painful. It's insane. It's like not financial advice. It's like, yeah, but you're like, you have like a financial advice podcast. Like, this is terrible. How are you getting away with this? How is any, like, what is even happening right now? Seriously, if you really want to just like cook your noodle a little bit, just go listen to a TradFi podcast for like 5 minutes. And it's just, whoa, you're gonna have an aneurysm. It's not good. It is not good at all, guys. Not good. But yeah, let's see, how much longer am I going to make it here? I mean, I was hoping we might like blow off that blow off that 124 something and, you know, just like rip up to 130. It appears we're just hovering around like 125, which is just so boring. Only 125,000 infinitely printable fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin. How sad. How very, very sad. But you know what? We'll make it through. We will make it through. Also, speaking of live streams, I have a new weekly show. This is a shill. I have a new weekly show. One sec. I was so thirsty. I have a new weekly show that I'm doing with Roxum TV. It's usually on Tuesdays from 1 to 4. Wait, 1 to 4. Yeah, 1 to 4 Eastern time. It's a live show. It's outside of the podcast, as is this right now. Next week, or this coming week, I should say, I'm doing it on Monday. So I guess that's, well, now it's like tomorrow. Because I guess today's technically Sunday already. So it's tomorrow. I'm doing it from, I think, like, let's see, from 2 to 5 p.m. Because I got some travel on the next day. But, yeah, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, hey, you're doing a terrible job live streaming. I want to come on and talk to you in your live stream about how terrible you are. I'll be doing more of them for 3 hours every week on Roxum. So if you want to come and tell me how terrible I am, you can just shoot me an email at hello@bitcoinpodcast.net and I might respond and schedule you on this. Sorry, I'm burpy, guys. I apologize. And schedule you on this, this Roxum show. I like what Roxum's doing. It's they're going for like 24/7 Bitcoin news coverage, which is like not easy. I'm not so great on the news side. Like, this is literally, I think, like the first time I've ever done like a, you know, massive breaking stream. I didn't even say, fuck, I forgot to say massive breaking when I tweeted this out. Like, what an idiot. You know, I'm clearly bad at this. But I'm usually not like a news type guy. I'd just rather like sit down and have a conversation with people. But in this case on Roxum, I'm also just sitting down and having a conversation with people, but it's 3 hours that I have to fill. So the cool thing is that I get to fill it with like, with some interesting stuff, right? That's like, it's like a long time to fill. It's hard to go for 3 hours, honestly. Again, Bitcoin podcasting, everybody thinks it's easy. It ain't. It's a hard knock life out there for a Bitcoin podcaster, but you know what? Somebody's got to do it. And if you're listening to this right now, you should be Bitcoin podcasting. You could be talking shit to me in a concurrent Bitcoin podcast live stream telling me how terrible I'm doing. Imagine, just imagine how wonderful that would be. I don't know, guys. How are we doing? I'm going to check back on Nostr. If you're not on Nostr also, what are you doing? What are you doing? I truly wish you would just wake up and smell the freedom over on Nostr. I see that Uno has commented on Nostr. Primal has streaming now. Yes, Primal sure does. Fountain, occasionally, I don't know if it's like totally rolled out or if it's just for beta users, but they've also enabled live streaming. Amethyst, the Amethyst Nostr client has enabled it. I'm sure that Will over at Domus will probably enable it pretty soon too. Honestly, it's awesome. But if you're not just generally using Nostr, you really should be. Like, why not, right? It's just a better vibe. Although we did bring some of the same drama over there from Bitcoin X, like now that drama is fading out because the beautiful thing about Nostr is that bad vibes are not rewarded on Nostr. On Central, it's honestly what I've come down to is like the core thesis, and Gigi said it much more eloquently and with a cool presentation and his cool voice. He has an awesome video he's posted on YouTube now. It's, you wouldn't zap a car crash. And I think that's honestly, you can, if you go on YouTube and just go zap a car crash, it should pop up. But his thesis was you wouldn't zap a car crash. And I thought that was genuinely so meaningful. It's this idea that a car crash is what, like everybody pays it. Everybody looks at it, everybody pays attention to it, everybody's rubbernecking, you know, on centralized social media platforms, the car crash gets all the attention too, right? Cause it's what the algorithm feeds to everybody because they know that people will look at it. Like everybody looks at the car crash, but what you won't do is you won't zap a car crash. And I thought that it's such a simple statement, but it's so powerful because it's the idea that you ultimately, you don't zap bad vibes. You zap good vibes. You're not going to send Bitcoin to something that's a bad vibe. like you might look at it, but it's a Nostr that you're not algorithmically baited with it for one. And for two, you're certainly not going to zap it. Like you're not going to send a little slice of 21 million Bitcoin to a car crash. So like, this is why I just think the vibes on Nostr are necessarily better. It's because like people are incentivized to post things with good vibes. They're not, you can, of course, you know, like not everything has a good vibe. Like life isn't all, you know, unicorn farts and rainbows and daisies or whatever. Some things have bad vibes. Some things are very difficult to talk about. That's fine. But like, that's going to happen. Like various news items from around the world. Sure, there's fucking death and destruction happening all the time. But on Nostr, what gets amplified are the good vibes. And I think that that's a powerful thing. And so if you've been feeling a lot of bad vibes lately on X or Instagram or Facebook, if you're a boomer and you still use that, come on over to Nostr and check it out. Like, it's just a better vibe. And Uno, I just saw you also say that Walker's voice makes you sleepy. It's true. I'm sorry. It is my real voice, for what it's worth. Every time I post a video on YouTube, not every time, most of the time, somebody will comment like, yeah, like I like the episode and everything, but what about this guy's Batman filter he's got in his voice? And I'm like, I don't know how to do a Batman filter on my voice. I don't know how to do that. This is just my voice. So I don't know what to tell you. It's just how I sound, and I'm sorry. Fishcake, I see you say on Nostr, we want Titcoin podcast. Wait, what did you say? Hold on. We want a Titcoin podcast, not another Bitcoin podcast. Actually, I don't think you said podcast, but you know, I get what you're going for there. What else do we have over here? K Maximus zapped 1111 sats. Great post. Thumbs up. Thank you. Nostr is the good news network, says Uno. XO Blort says the pursuit of or return to freedom should not be controlled with the motivation of personal pride. Fuck, that's very deep for this time of night, XO Blort. Damn, I was not. Was not quite ready for that to be this deep, but damn. Okay. I've got to go rethink my life choices. Thanks a lot, ExoBlort. ExoBlort also said Satoshi walked away. Wait, I lost this. This is why I need a producer, guys. Somebody to bring these things up in my... I'm so sorry. ExoBlort, you had a great message and I want to find it. Where did it go? Well, we're going to find it, all right. No, I can't find it. Satoshi walked away. Marxism is an outgrowth of a narcissistic worldview. It is through a life of dissatisfaction, envy, or feelings of resentment that this person nurses the idea that it would be better to change everything that is. Damn, ExoBlort, I don't know who you are, but you're dropping some really heavy truth bombs tonight. And that's a really great point. And maybe I'll slowly start to wrap up on this because I should go to bed at some point or else my wife's going to be like, what time did you come to bed? And I'll be like, 4 a.m. I was busy live streaming. She'll understand. She's amazing. But ExoBlort, you make a great point. It's generally that the root of the communist idea is envy. And you're right, that dissatisfaction. The dissatisfaction necessarily must be stoked by the people who are trying to agitate to bring about communism, right? That dissatisfaction necessarily must be stoked. The envy, that fire must be lit and must be just stoked up as well. These are the cornerstones of communism. It's the quintessential class warfare, right? It's the us versus them. And what I think is so sad right now is we're at a time where for people who are in Bitcoin, we see that it's not the, you know, the rich versus the poor, right? It's not that it's the billionaires versus everybody else. That's a red herring, right? It's really because the billionaires are a symptom, right? The billionaires aren't the disease. The billionaires aren't the root cause. In most of the cases, like the billionaires, like fucking A, like I can get shit delivered to my house from Amazon. I can order a can order a fucking microphone and it's delivered literally the same day to my house. Like, that's insane. Like, Jeff Bezos, like, wow. Like, somehow this has all worked out. Granted, there's a whole other lot of things in terms of, like, access to cheap credit that the average person can't get. And we can get into all that, but I don't have another several hours. Okay. The moral of the story is, like, it's not the billionaire's fault that we are where we are. It's not the billionaire's fault that people are suffering. It's the fault of the money printers. It's the fault of the people that are in charge of the creation of new units, new monetary units. It is ultimately their fault. And it may sound sensationalist to say that Bitcoin fixes this. But there's a reason that we say Bitcoin fixes this. We say Bitcoin fixes this because in most cases it fucking does. Because in most cases, the problem that we're talking about is not actually the problem. It's the symptom of the problem. The actual problem is that there is a dislocation somewhere. That there is a broken incentive structure somewhere. That there is a market being manipulated somewhere. And that is leading to bad incentives, which drive bad outcomes. And Bitcoin does fix that in most cases. Now, Bitcoin doesn't fix you as a person. Bitcoin doesn't fix me. Bitcoin can help us to be better people because it changes the way we think. It changes the way we think about time. It changes the way we think about money. It changes the way we think about so many things. It sends us down so many different rabbit holes, but doesn't fix us. It's not going to fix what's deeply broken in you if there is something. Maybe there's not. Maybe you are perfect the way you are, and that's fantastic. Good for you. But if you have something broken in you, Bitcoin's not going to fix it. It can help put you down that path. But Bitcoin doesn't just magically fix things. What it does fix is incentives. And what it does fix at the individual level is it gives you a new perspective. That is powerful. And as it relates to, say, this fucking fiat world that we all still operate in, Bitcoin gives anyone who's willing to learn an option. You have an option. You have the optionality. You have a chance to say, fuck that. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to play that game anymore. I want to do something else. And I think that that's really meaningful. It's been really meaningful for me. Like, I was a very bad saver. I just wasn't good at it. Until Bitcoin, I didn't have stacks of cash lying around that I then, you know, when I got into Bitcoin, I was like, well, let me just deploy these big fat sacks of cash or, you know, buy all the Bitcoins with them. No, it was like, I didn't have like any savings because I was really bad at saving. And I'm not going to, like, that was a me problem. But it's also a problem of the fiat system because the fiat system does not incentivize saving because saving in fiat is a terrible idea. Spending in fiat is a great idea. Saving in fiat is a terrible idea. And I think a lot of people are in the same camp as me, where it's you were a bad saver, but since adopting Bitcoin, you've had the ability to be a great saver because it's simpler now. You just stack sats. That's it. That's all you have to do. You just stack sats. And that's honestly like, what an amazing cheat code. Doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to study the charts every day, all day. You just have to stack sats and you'll be okay. And your family will be okay. And like your children will be okay. And probably your grandchildren, your great grandchildren will be okay because we are so fucking early. We are still at the fucking innovators phase of the tech adoption curve. We're not even to the early majority yet. We're not even close. We're not even close. And like, I don't know, we've got a long way to go in terms of Bitcoin repricing the fiat world because it is still massively mispriced, massively mispriced. It's going to take some time, but gradually then suddenly. So let's see. I don't know, guys. I guess what I'd leave you with, because if I don't leave you soon, I'm just going to keep on rambling forever. I hope that for everyone that's been here, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. I hope it was okay. I'm not used to live streaming by myself. We'll check the Bitcoin price one more time. 124,852. Sure. Okay. That's enough looking at the Bitcoin price. I've had a nice time with you guys. It's fun to be here at this place in space and time and aware of Bitcoin, isn't it? Like, how lucky are we? We get to experience this moment. Like, there's only... We're watching Bitcoin reprice the entire world in real time. We're here. We're right here for it. It's pretty fucking cool. Pretty incredible. Like, this is the only time you get to watch this happen. It's not going to be quite as exciting 100 years down the line. You know? Give us a few generations of separation. It's not going to be quite so volatile, let's say. So it's cool to be here right now. What does the future look like when Bitcoin's ubiquitous? Do we still have Bitcoin conferences? Do we still have Bitcoin meetups? Does that still exist? I forget who it was I was talking to the other day, but I was asking about that. And they were like, well, there's still gold conferences, and gold's been around for like 5,000 years. And I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, touche. Okay. Fair enough. If gold can do it. So we've got maybe we have 5,000 years of Bitcoin conferences left. I don't know. But it's pretty amazing to be here right now. There's only like this time is very, very singular. We should use our time as best we can. If you're a young parent like I am, spend as much time as you can with your family. Try to find that balance between attempting to stack as many sats as you can and also stack as much time as you can. It's like, you can only stack more sats in the future. You can never get back time. That's what I keep coming back to, right? TikTok next block. Boy, that really applies to your time. Like, that's your life going by. So I'm trying to find that balance right now. If anybody has the secret, I'd love to know it. For me right now, the secret is spend as much time as I can while my wife and son are awake. And when they go to bed, just Bitcoin podcast. That seems to be working out okay so far. So we'll see. I'll keep it going for now. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate everybody on Noster. There was a lot of activity in this chat, guys. I need to like go back and read all of it. I only read some of it. Too busy listening to the sound of my own voice, you know? But I do appreciate everybody who hopped in here. So I don't know what time it is for all of you guys, but it's 1:43 a.m. So maybe I'll... Chef Tommy, thank you for the zap, by the way. Much appreciated. And I think I already thanked K Maximus for the zap as well, but I'll just say thank you again. Oh, God, talking this much, it really makes one's mouth dry. Perhaps I'll end now. Now I've got to think of something very profound and important to say before I leave. I guess I would say a couple of things. The first is, please do remember, if you are ever in a conversation with somebody and they tell you that they're a communist, tell them to fuck themselves because they're a genocidal maniac. Make sure they know it. Fuck those communists. Call a communist a retard every day. Every day. Make sure you do. Because they are. They're murderous retards too. This is the worst kind. So make sure you just absolutely verbally eviscerate a commie. Because if you don't verbally eviscerate them now, they will literally try to kill you later. Because that's what communists do. Every time. Every damn time. The other thing I would say is, remember, I got to a point with orange pilling where I got so frustrated after so many, I had many successful attempts at orange pilling. But I got to a point where I think I got very frustrated because, you know, you get shut down a lot as well. And then you get to a point after that, I think, where you realize, I'm not going to orange pill anyone. Like, I can't actually, I'm not force feeding anyone the orange pill. That doesn't exist. It's not the orange suppository. You're not jamming it up their ass, hopefully. And if you do, it's not going to work. You know, they have to willingly take it. They have to take it themselves. And if they're going to take it themselves, like, it has to be them wanting to do it. And so if you want somebody to do it, you have to make the case. But that old saying of, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, rings very true. Do what you can to give people information, but it's not actually your job to bring them over the finish line. You can do everything you can. And you should do everything you can for your, like your family, like your, you know, your parents, your siblings, you know, in-laws, whatever. Like, to me, that's like, it's like, make sure you can orange pill them, because like, those are the people you want to make sure are in it. Are you going to get your Uncle Jim? Probably not. I mean, eventually he's going to be a Bitcoiner, you know, like not anytime soon. So do what you can to orange people, to give the orange pill to the people you care most about, but recognize that they must take it for themselves. You cannot force it on them. They will only do it when they're ready. And you'll save yourself a lot of headache. The last thing I'll say, and I'm thinking about it on the spot, I'm trying to think, what would the cool last thing to say be on this stream? Because, man, I'm tired. I guess the last thing I would say is, I'm not being sarcastic when I say you should start a Bitcoin podcast, or just any podcast. I genuinely mean that. And I think it's important, because you, whoever you are listening to this right now, you don't know who you may impact, who your voice may speak to, who your character, your personality may resonate with. And if you feel passionately about Bitcoin or about Nostr, it doesn't have to be just a Bitcoin podcast. It can be a Nostr podcast. It doesn't have to be about either of them exclusively. Also, it can just be a podcast. You are the media now. Like in a non-cliched way, like you are the media now. It's super powerful. Like you as a random fucking pleb can get more views than than your local Fox News station. Like, seriously, like my fucking wife's big toe will get more views than Jimmy Kimmel. This is a different era that we're in. And especially as we enter an era where so much is AI generated, one thing you can't generate with AI is trust in your fellow human. You can create an avatar of them, sure. But you can't engender trust in another human with it. Like it just doesn't work. Right? So being a real, authentic, and human voice and starting a damn podcast can actually make a difference. Cause even if you end up just getting a couple of people, a handful of people to try Nostr and start stacking in Bitcoin, I don't know, I think that's a win. I think that's successful. It's incredibly successful, actually. You've just changed, because for anybody who's here who's listening, and probably that's the only people that are listening right now, are people that are on Nostr and are stacking Bitcoin. If you're doing those things, somebody changed your life at some point. Somebody changed your life when you started deciding to say, I'm going to stack Bitcoin. You know, like, this is a... Hold on, now I've got double audio here. Jesus Christ. So bad at streaming. My point being, you never know who your voice is going to resonate with. You never know what kind of message that you're delivering may change someone's life. And like, for me, it's like, damn, like Guy Swan and Peter McCormack literally changed my life. Like, I listened to their podcast and they sent me deeper and deeper and deeper down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. Like, those guys changed my life with a fucking podcast. I'm sure there's a lot of stories out there like that. That's pretty fucking cool. And we're at a time where I want to see as many people as possible learn about Bitcoin. As many of my fellow plebs as possible learn about Bitcoin. The suits are here. They're not going away. Fucking spooks are here. They've been here for a while. They're not going away. What I want is for the plebs to learn about Bitcoin as much as possible, as much as is humanly possible. And so you don't have to, but if you feel like it, start a fucking podcast. Start talking to your fellow plebs. You might just change somebody's life. All right, guys. With that, that's enough of a sermon from me. Thank you to everybody who joined. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to bed, I think. No more editing for me tonight. It's just great. I didn't feel like editing anyway. I was far too tired and just didn't feel like it. But so I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. I hope this was a decent live stream. I haven't done one like this before. I hope it was okay. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it valuable. I appreciate very much. Thank you to everybody sincerely who zapped me on Nostr. I appreciate you sending, seriously, like You just sent me a fraction of the only completely finite thing in the entire world, which is Bitcoin. So thank you to everybody who's at me sats. I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who checks out the Bitcoin podcast on a regular basis. I appreciate you guys a lot. I have a lot of fun doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. And yeah, I'm going to burp more. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible live streamer. But sincerely, thank you for sharing your scarce time with me. Thank you for listening to another fucking Bitcoin podcast. Well, and until next time, stay free. Now I'm going to go ahead and cut this stream because I don't know how to end it. And if I don't stop talking now,